Bible is marked in the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. I invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 10 and 11 as a little jumping off point for my lesson here in a few moments. Let me take this opportunity to welcome those who are able to be out with us here actually in our assembly as I look around about, very sociably distanced, and appreciate that very much. Majority of our congregation are at home and are participating via live stream on YouTube, and we're very grateful that you're there. We know you're there. We miss being able to associate personally with you, but we're grateful to know that you are there. It appears that the governor is going to ease the restrictions in regards to church assemblies next Friday, and so stealing Steve's thunder a little bit in our announcements, we will begin to have full services here next Lord's Day. So many of you who are watching online, we hope to have you back with us again shortly. There will be some social distancing criteria that the elders have established, and I'm sure Steve will talk a little bit about that to close. But we miss you, we thank you, but thank you all for who are here today and those who are leading us in our worship service. We appreciate that very much. We come to the part of our worship where we're going to continue to honor God by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the other that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. And so we're going to glorify God at this moment by proclaiming His Word. And I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here to my left, and I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I teach here today, so that you individually, on your own, can read these things to see whether these things are so and how it is that it applies to you, that you might know from where it is that we are gathering these things and that we can check on our own selves to know that we are bringing honor and glory to God by only preaching and teaching His Word and not infiltrating it in any way with our opinions or our church stances, church catechisms, creed books, church constitutions, but we are, in fact, preaching and teaching the Word of God. This year, you may recall that the elders have established a theme for this local body of a church with 2020 vision. And we talk about the idea that we want to be able to see things more clearly together. And this month, the month of May, and it is May already in 2020, it's hard to believe, but this month we are talking about the Lord's church. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to begin this month by talking to us here this morning about the church. Jesus just said and reminded us of, that Steve read so well a few moments ago, that upon this rock I will build my church. And we need to understand that the Lord's church is of divine origin. It originated in the mind of God before the world was even created. In the book of Ephesians 3 and verse 10, to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places, that they might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal purpose, eternally purchased, purposed in His mind to create a group of saved individuals, adoption of children, if you will, into a family, by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what I'd like to talk to us about today is the origin of the Lord's church. I mean, we can always distinguish an institution, one from another, by its origin. For example, the original overhead door factory. I'll say it right. The original overhead door factory. And they put that name and they have commercials to try to distinguish it from all the other knockoffs. This is the original overhead door factory. And so what I want you to understand is that if we can find the origin of the Lord's church, would that help us distinguish it from other churches made by men? I mean, I believe that it would. And so what I want to do here today is I want to look into the Bible, the Word of God, and see more clearly, yea, with 2020 vision, in regards to the origin of the Lord's church. The first thing I want you to see is that the Lord's church was originated in the last days. Isaiah said in Isaiah 2 and verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Again, Micah would say in Micah 4, verse 1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. But someone says, wait a second, you're talking about the house of God. What is the house of God? Well, allowing the Bible to be its own commentary, which I always exhort you to do, by the way. In the book of 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul there said, I write these things unto you that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Now listen, which is the church of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The house of God is the church of God. The prophet said God's church, God's house, would be originated in the last days. Well, someone says, when's the last days? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because again, allowing the Bible to be its own commentary, I see that the last days began in the New Testament days, that in the day of Pentecost in particular. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, as the folks there on the day of Pentecost were asking, what is this all about? These men from Galilee, the apostles, were speaking in languages where everybody there in the world, by their specific language, was being understood. And they said, what is this all about? And Peter stood up in verse 16, said, this, that is what's happening, is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. What did the prophet Joel say? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And Peter said, that's what you're seeing. This is fulfillment of what Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2. When was it going to occur? The last days. When was it occurring? Right then. The last days on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, certainly were the last days. The Hebrew writer says the same in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 when he says that God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So if I begin a little lesson here thinking about the origin of the Lord's church, I want you to appreciate that it was to originate in the last days, but also it was going to originate from the city of Jerusalem. Not only do we know a specific time, but we know a specific location. The messianic prophet foretold this. He says, and many people should go and say, come, let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord, listen, from Jerusalem. In Isaiah 2 in verse 3. Which city is called the mountain of the Lord, you might ask. Zechariah said in Zechariah 8 and verse 3, thus says the Lord, I am returned into Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of the truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Jerusalem was the holy mountain. It was the mountain of the Lord. It was called the city of the truth. And that's exactly where that was going to be established, in the mount of the Lord, Jerusalem. In Zechariah 1 and verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts. What's the house of God? The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church was going to be established in the day, or in the city of Jerusalem. And just remember where the Lord's church was built. In Acts chapter 2, we see it. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Acts 2 and verse 5. The Lord's church was to be originated in the city of Jerusalem. But also, the Lord's church was going to originate in the lifetime of disciples that were alive in the first century. In the book of Mark, in chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that are standing right here, which shall not see death until they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. The kingdom of God is coming. And there were those that were alive right then and there, Jesus said, that were not going to die until it was established. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. The church is the kingdom. And there are going to be some of those alive in the days of the first century disciples that we're going to see it. In Acts chapter 2, when the Lord's church was originated, some of the disciples were still living. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, I read that Peter stood in amongst them, and there was about 120 disciples. These people were still alive, just as Jesus said they would be, and saw the kingdom of God come. The church, the Lord's church, would originate in the life of some disciples alive in the first century, but also it would originate in the days of the Roman kings. Isn't that something? Go over to the book of Daniel, if you will, to chapter 2. I'd like to see this prophecy here that Daniel speaks of in regards to the Lord's church in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 31. I want you to read hear the Nebuchadnezzar's dream here. Thou, O king, saw, this is what Daniel said. Daniel, this is what you saw. Or Daniel said, this is what you saw, Nebuchadnezzar. You saw a great image, and this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and form therefore was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms, part iron, part clay. Thou saw this till a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image, and his feet that were made of clay broke into pieces. And when that was iron and clay and brass and silver and gold were broken into pieces together and became as the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found in them. And that stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Remember what Isaiah said was the mountain of God. It was the house of God. The church was going to be established. We know the rest of the story. The reason I can say that. Here's the interpretation. Someone said, no, wait a second. Why in the world is it that Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar what it was that he saw? Well, the reason he did that is because Nebuchadnezzar said, not only do I want an interpretation, somebody better tell me what the dream was. Because I can tell Alan Morris what my dream was, and then he can make up any kind of story. It sounds good, couldn't it? But what would really prove that Daniel knew what he was talking about, Nebuchadnezzar said, somebody better tell me what the dream was, and then give me the interpretation. That's what he did. Isn't that interesting? And so now that he has told him what it was, he said, this is the dream. Now that you know that, I know what it was. Thou art King of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom and power, and whoever the children of dwell, the beasts of the field, over all this, you are the head of gold. Remember that statue? Head of gold, silver, brass, and on down. You are the head of gold. Then he goes on and says, and after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and he'll rule over, and then a third kingdom, which shall bow rule. And then the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces, subdues all things, and iron breaks these things. And whereas thou saw the feet and the toes, etc. Then he says in verse 44, in the days of these kings, that is that fourth kingdom, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When was it going to be established? In the days of these kings. In the fourth set of kings there that Daniel prophesied of. The Babylonian kingdom, as he said, was that first gold kingdom, world empire, 625 to 538 BC. Then we had the Medo-Persians empire that was inferior to it, but yet still a great world power. And then we had the Grecians. We had Alexander the Great was the next world power. And then the fourth was the Roman Empire. In the days of these kings, I will establish my kingdom. When was it that the kingdom of God was established? In the book of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 1, we see the beginning of the birth of our Lord. It says, and it came to pass in the days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. Isn't that interesting? In the days of these kings, I will establish my kingdom. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 1, In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor, Herod being tetrarch, so was his brother Licentius, Annas and Caiaphas, they were the high priests. Here came John the Baptist preaching from Jordan. Just by case, you know, when I go check my story, Luke said, listen, not only will I tell you who the emperor was, I'll tell you what year he was and his burn, I'll tell you who the governor of Judea was, I'll tell you who it was over the provinces inside of Palestine. Yes, check me out. In the days of these kings, I will establish a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Paul would say in Philippians 4, verse 22, and the saints salute thee, chiefly those of Caesar's household. The Lord's church was established during the Roman Empire, and it was going to be originated after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. In Mark 9 and verse 1, again, verily I say unto you that there be some of you standing here which shall not see death till you see the kingdom of God come with power. What is that power? In Luke 24 and verse 49, and behold, Jesus said, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem. I wonder why. Until you be endued with power from on high. The kingdom of heaven was going to come with power. It was going to come in Jerusalem. The apostles were told to sit and wait in Jerusalem until they had that power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when the Lord assembled with the apostles, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. According to these passages, the kingdom of God had come with power. The apostles were to receive the power after receiving the Holy Spirit, and it came upon them. Therefore, whenever the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, the kingdom of God came with power. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And I read at the end of that chapter, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. The original Lord's church was established after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. And finally, the Lord's church originated when the word was preached among all nations. The Lord's church did not produce the word. Let me say that one more time. The Lord's church did not produce the word, but rather, the preaching of the word produced the Lord's church. And as the Lord's word was proclaimed, it was proclaimed to all nations. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, in Jerusalem I read, and there was in Jerusalem men from every nation under heaven. All nations heard the gospel. Speaking of the Lord's church, Isaiah said, and nations shall flow into it, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And that's the reason why Jesus sent the apostles to preach the word, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. By sowing this identical seed, the word of God, Jesus said in the parable of the sower in Luke 8 and verse 11, when he gave divine commentary, he said, the seed of the kingdom. How do you seed the kingdom? How do you get the kingdom planted to grow? The seed of the kingdom is the word of God in all communities, in all ages. If we'll just simply plant the word of God, we will produce identically the kingdom of God that was established here on these pages of the New Testament. Churches of men. In Rome in 606, we find the Catholic Church. In Germany in 1520, 1534 in England, Episcopalian, 1536 in Switzerland, 607 Holland, the Baptist Church, the Church of the Brethren, 1708 in Germany, Methodist Church, 1739 in England, Mormon Church, 1830 in Fayette, New York, the Adventists, 1830 in Massachusetts, Christian Scientists, 1866 in Boston, and the Christian Church, 1906 in Cincinnati, Ohio. How do you distinguish one institution from another? One of the things you can do is you can look and see the origin. And that will help you distinguish it from the others. The Lord's church originated in the last days in the city of Jerusalem. in the lifetime of some of those disciples. It originated in the Roman Empire when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, when the Word of God was first preached upon all nations. And if we've learned that lesson here this morning, we have begun to see with 2020 vision the truth that God has revealed in regards to His church. And if we've learned that, I think our time has been spent very properly. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here today. I want to ask Ron to lead us in that closing prayer. Stand as we say it.